If you have your Bible this morning, turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. We're going to start there here in just a few minutes. So 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. We're going to be talking a little bit about Lottie Moon today. And I'm going to share with you some things about her life and the legacy that she leaves behind and how we can follow her legacy. And then Leslie's going to come in just a minute and share some very neat statistics that the IMB has put out so we can understand what our money goes toward when we give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And so we're going to kind of be tag teaming it this morning. But before I get into that, I want to just see if anybody has ever heard by the gentleman by the name of Sir Robert Watson Watt. Anybody ever heard of him? Sir Robert Watson Watt. Well, he is the pioneer of radar technology. In case you didn't know that, you learned something new today. I hope that's not all you learn, okay? But that's something you can learn. So he was the pioneer of radar technology. And after he invented that technology, of course, people used that technology to their advantage. And our law enforcement made radar detectors to detect people's speed. And so Sir Robert Watson Watt, this pioneer of radar technology, was speeding one day. And guess what? He was pulled over for his speeding. He had been caught by a new radar device that used his very own technology to catch him. And so the policeman referred to it as an electronic speedometer. And as he took the ticket, Watson Watt said, "If I'd known what they were going to do with it, I would have never have invented it." And you know, even though he invented radar technology, he wasn't excluded from getting a ticket. You could say that he reaped what he sowed, right? Even he got a ticket. You know, the Bible has to say a lot about reaping and sowing. And so this morning, we're going to look at the seeds that Lottie Moon sowed in her life and how her work still motivates us in the area of missions. And for those, the kids that are here today, we've talked a lot about Lottie Moon, remember, at Kids on Mission. And so some of these things you may remember about her life. So, but let's take a look at the scripture and then we'll get into it today. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. I love this passage because it shows what our hearts should be like when we give. And Paul is referring to the Macedonian Christians. And he says here in chapter 9, 2 Corinthians verse 1, he says, "Now concerning the ministry to the saints, it is unnecessary for me to write to you. For I know your eagerness, and I brag about you to the Macedonians. Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has been stirred up by most of them. But I sent the brothers so our boasting about you in the matter would not prove empty, and so you would be prepared just as I said. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we did not mention you would be embarrassed in that situation. Therefore, I consider it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of you and arrange in advance the generous gift you promised, so that it will be ready as a gift and not as an extortion. Remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work." I love that passage, and it shows the heart of, or shows what our heart should be when we give to whatever, church, missions, our time, you know, for things. It shows our heart when we give, and it shows the heart of Lottie Moon. And I want to answer a few questions this morning about Lottie Moon. We've got PowerPoint to kind of go along with it. And so the first question is this: who is Lottie Moon? We hear, obviously, her name at Christmas time, especially in Southern Baptist churches. Well, she is the namesake of Southern Baptist International Missions Giving. She is the person that our giving toward international missions was named after. In 1918, the Women's Missionary Union named the annual Christian offering or Christmas offering for international missions after the woman who had urged them to start it. And today we understand that Southern Baptist churches all across America collect an offering at Christmas time to support our missionaries around the world. And so our missions offering was named after this very remarkable woman. And we understand that 100% of the money that is collected goes to the missionaries, okay? So, our offering was named after Lottie Moon, but what about before she was a missionary, okay? She had a life before missions, and it was kind of a sordid life, and it was not one that was, you know, all, you know, roses and everything like that. Before she was a missionary, okay, she was born, her official name is Charlotte Diggs Moon. And a little bit of trivia for me, my mom told me that if I had been a girl, my name was going to be Charlotte. So it was going to be CB, no matter what, but instead of Kobe Boyd, it was going to be Charlotte, okay? She always told me that. So I've always kind of been particular to that name, Charlotte, okay? But she was born Charlotte Diggs Moon on December 12, 1840 in Virginia. And Charlotte was raised in a very, well-to-do family, okay? She had a lot of the privileges that other kids didn't have. But she, in her early years, rebelled against Christianity, okay? She did not want to really follow in the footsteps of her father. In fact, her middle name, Diggs, she said the D in my name refers to devil, not Diggs. I mean, she was really not in favor of following Christianity at all. And so until she was in college, that's kind of how she lived her life. But in December of 1858, she dedicated her life to Christ. She was baptized at First Baptist Church in Charlottesville, Virginia. And then after that, she attended the Albemarle Female Institute. It was a female counterpart, if you will, to the University of Virginia. And so in 1861, she was one of the very first women in the South to receive a master's degree. It was very unlikely for women, first of all, to get a college education, then second of all, to even further it, even to getting a master's degree. And so she stayed very close to home during the Civil War, but eventually she began to teach school in Kentucky, Georgia, and Virginia. And God used those instances in her life to help shape and mold her into what he would eventually call her to do in going into missions. So let's talk now about her missionary work. Now, her missionary work started kind of because her sister was already a missionary, Edmonia. Edmonia Moon, Lottie's sister, was appointed to Ting Chau, China in 1872. And Lottie felt called to missions after that. She felt like the Lord was calling her to missions too. And so she was appointed and joined her sister there in the very same place. So they were serving together in that area of China. And so when she set sail for China, Lottie was 32 years old. So she was, you know, not a very young person. I mean, she's 32, still young, but I'm just saying she wasn't, you know, in her 20s. And so she was 32 years old. She had turned down multiple marriage proposals. She had left her job. She had left her home. She had left her family to follow the Lord's leading in her life, to go to this area of China. And her path wasn't very typical for an educated woman from a wealthy Southern family, but God had gripped her with the Chinese people's need for a Savior. God spoke to her heart. She had her whole life ahead of her. She had a master's degree. She could have taught. She could have made money. She could have gotten married, had a family, all these things, but God gripped her heart for the souls of the Chinese people, so she answered the call to go. And it was there that she labored for 39 years among the Chinese people, chiefly in Ting Chau and also in Ping Tu. And people feared her, they rejected her, but she refused to leave. It wasn't all easy, it was difficult to go there. And she used to bake cookies. You sometimes refer to her as the cookie lady. She baked cookies and that would draw people to her house, and she used the cookies to share the gospel with people. She adopted traditional Chinese dress, and she learned China's language and their customs. And Lottie didn't just serve the people of China, she identified with them. She became one among them. She didn't go there to change their customs and their culture. She fit right in with their culture and became one of them. And because of that, many eventually accepted her, but more importantly, they began to accept her Savior, their Savior as well, Jesus Christ. Lottie Moon was passionate about people knowing Christ, and she didn't hesitate to speak her mind. This little woman, she was only about 4'8", okay? That's a foot shorter than me, and I'm pretty short, okay? So this small woman refused. I mean, she didn't have any bones about speaking her mind. She didn't hesitate to speak her mind. And, you know, she was able to share the gospel with lots of people. You know, today's China is a world of rapid change, and we hear them in the news all the time. It's home to about 1.4 billion individuals, which is one-fifth of the world's population. And village dwellers flock to trendy megacities with exploding populations, and we know that China holds its own in the world's economy. It's very different from the vast farmland that Lottie Moon entered in the 1800s. But there's one thing that hasn't changed about China, is they still need a Savior. And Lottie Moon began that work there, and that work continues today. Well, let's talk about how Lottie kind of got into this theme of, you know, the Women's Missionary Union adopting her name as the namesake of our missions offering, because Lottie did something that was very, very important. She wrote letters. So let's talk about Lottie's letters that she wrote back to America. Lottie wrote letters back to America from China detailing what was going on there and what kinds of needs they had, detailing China's hunger for the truth, their struggle, and there wasn't enough missionaries taking the gospel to, at that time, the 472 million Chinese people in her day. She also shared the urgent need for more workers and for Southern Baptists to support them through prayer and through giving. And she once wrote home to the Foreign Mission Board, as it was called at that time, "Please say to the new missionaries that they are coming to a life of hardship, responsibility, and constant self-denial." And so by 1888, Southern Baptist women had organized and they began to collect offering to send over to China. At that time, the very first offering that was given to international missions, they collected $3,315 to send workers needed to China. Leslie figured that out earlier. It's about $91,000 in today's money. And so they were able to raise that much money to send over to the gospel effort there in China. And one of the things that we need to understand is that Lottie Moon leaves a legacy for us, okay? We could say a lot more about her, but I want to get to Leslie's stuff that she wants to share here in a minute. But Lottie's legacy, you know, Lottie Moon gave herself completely to God. And she helped lay the foundation of what would become the modern Chinese church, one of the fastest growing Christian movements in the world. She is the one that set the stage, set the standard, if you will. And she leaves behind a legacy for us to follow. You know, she spent the rest of her days in China. Lottie Moon died at age 72. She was very sick at that time. She was declining in health. And after decades of ministering to her beloved Chinese, she grew ill. But her legacy lives on. And today, when gifts aren't growing as quickly as the number of workers that God is calling to the field, her call for sacrificial giving rings with more urgency than ever. And so just because of what she laid, the foundation she laid, the urgency is still there. People still need to hear the gospel, and people still need to give to missions. So how can we be like Lottie Moon, okay? If she leaves a legacy behind, how can we be like her? Well, Lottie didn't just play at mission. She didn't just talk about it. She wasn't talk. She confidently went and persuaded other people to consider the reality of people going to hell apart from Christ. And so the greatest thing that you and I can do is pray, okay? And we say, well, that's kind of cliche. Yeah, pray. But guys, that is the most important thing that we can do. And don't write it off as something that's insignificant, because it is significant. And we should be about praying. Pray for the safety and success of our missionaries. Pray that they would have boldness as they serve and peace as they're away from their families. We need to pray for our missionaries. We need to pray that the lost would sense their spiritual need, that they'd have dreams and visions of people coming with good news to share, you know, that they would know that something is coming that's of good news and they need to listen to it and hear it, that their eyes would be open. So pray. Another thing we can do is to go, obviously. Someone has to go, okay? Not all are called to go, but somebody is called to go. Someone has to go. And so the question is, are you called to go? I would often tell the kids in Kids on Mission, you know, it could be that some of you are going to be called to go to another country someday and share the gospel with other people. And you need to be ready for that. You need to be willing to go. So are you called to go? Maybe you could be involved in a short-term mission trip. Lottie Moon once wrote of the situation in China, one of the many thousands of letters that she wrote. She says, "We implore you to send help to us. Let not these heathens sink down into the eternal death without one opportunity to hear that blessed gospel, which is to you the source of all joy and comfort." So people need to hear. And so we're called to go. Some of us are called to go, but then some of us are called to give. We all can't go, and God doesn't call all of us to go, but I do believe He calls all of us to give. He calls all of us to pray for sure. And I believe He probably calls all of us to give. The Great Commission tells us to go, but if we can't go, we need to give so others can be sent, so they can go in our stead, so we can send them out. Just like the church at Antioch, they sent people out. People that were called to go, they went, and they supported them. And so we all have to do our part and trust God to work. It's a privilege, guys. Let me just say, it's a privilege to be able to give to the work of the ministry. It's a privilege to serve and to go and to give. It's a privilege to give to missions. And so we as givers have to do our part and allow God to take care of the rest. So Leslie's going to come, and as we think about giving, I'm going to just give her my microphone here. But as we think about giving, let's talk a little bit about where our money goes when we give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering.
Well, good morning, sweet Bogie Hills family. Most of you guys know that I'm a numbers person, so it's really exciting for me to get to share in this part of the presentation. It's a little bit easier for me, too, so maybe I won't fall apart. So that's a pretty good plan. As most of you know, our Lottie Moon Christmas offering goal is $2,500, and we are at the 1905 mark. So $1,905, that was before today's offering, is where we're sitting. So we still have the rest of January to collect the offerings. So you still have time. We have envelopes on the back there. And all you have to do is stick your money in that envelope, and we'll make sure that it is designated for Lottie Moon. So let's look at our national goal. The national goal is $175 million. $175 million. So we're going to spend the next few minutes looking at what these numbers mean. So there are 47,530 churches cooperating within the Southern Baptist Convention. So we're one of those. If you think about how many churches that are, that's quite a few. And then any idea how many total membership in the Southern Baptist Convention? 14,525,579 people. Now, this is, we're looking at 2019 numbers. The 2020 numbers will be posted, so there's more now. But when we were working on this, that's the numbers that we had. So I want you to think about this. If 25% of Southern Baptists gave only $100 to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, guess how much we'd raise? $400 million. Okay, so then I did a little work on this to figure out how much that would be per month, because sometimes you think about, gosh, you know, if my husband and me gave, that's 200. Okay, guys, that's $8.33 a month. $8.33 a month. So in January, when you're, as a family, looking at your budget, looking how you're going to spend your funds, put $8.33 away for the Light and Moon Christmas offering, and then December next year, you're going to be ready to go with your $100, right? So I just wanted to throw that out there. It's easier if you break it down and figure out how much it's going to be. That's what you're wanting to think about there. So then the next thing that I want to talk about is the IMB currently supports 3,623 missionaries. And pretty soon it'll be 3,624. So very soon. Okay, give me just a second. Okay, so we're going to talk about the journey a little bit, about why it costs so much to send a missionary. So one of the things we need to think about is preparing them to go. So when God calls missionaries to share the gospel in a different culture, they must prepare for this challenging new vocation. The IMB's training is vigorous, and the preparation process helps new missionaries begin their journey well. So there's a three-month intensive training, so they have the price tag at that is $700. Vaccinations to prepare for the field, the price tag on that is $2,000. And then to train and launch a new missionary, $2,300. Okay, so that's preparing them to go. The next one is language education. Language proficiency is key to cultural understanding. As learning progresses, missionaries' ability to become part of the community deepens, as does their ability to communicate scripture and apply it to people's lives. So $50 for learning language learning supplies, $150, which is 1 month of in-country language study, and then $600 for a two-week intensive language sprint. Okay, so next thing is children's education. So depending on the location, some families homeschool, while others use local or boarding schools. Funds ensure kids receive a good education while allowing missionaries to remain on the field. So, you know, not all missionaries are single when they go out to the field. There are a lot of married couples and a lot of families that go out to the field. So $1,000 for a homeschool conference for a family, $2,500 for 1 year of homeschool curriculum and supplies, $7,500 for 1 year of international school. So the next thing to consider is security training. The challenging security situation across the world threatens the basic presence of missionaries. Security training equips missionaries and their families to live as safely as possible in some of the most dangerous areas of the world. $600 provides satellite phones for emergency situations. $5,800 provides security training for one missionary. So let's talk about the global impact in 2019. Okay, so for today, there are 7,070 unreached people groups. Okay, so these are people who have less than 1% of Christian in their population. Many of them have zero. And this represents 4.5 billion unreached people on this planet. So that's a lot of people. The world's population grows by 1.5 million people every week. So let's talk about what the components are of a missionary task. So here are some, like I said, 2019 global impact by the numbers. So the first thing is entry. So there were 827 people groups engaged by the IMB in 2019. 535,325 people heard the gospel message. So entry is number one. The second one is evangelism. 535,325 people heard the gospel message. The next one is discipleship. And there were 47,929 people baptized. Number four is healthy church formation. There were 12,368 new churches started. The next one is leadership development. 33,068 people received advanced theological training. And then the final step, this is where we want to get to with all of these unreached people group, is the exit. The exit of the missionary to a new partnership. And so 214 people groups with self-sustaining ownership in the missionary work. So that means the people of that culture have been trained, they've picked it up, and then that missionary can go on to the next place that God calls them, or come back home, whatever the Lord is doing for them. So here's a quote by Nathaniel Bishop Jr. He's a lead pastor in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky. He says, "One thing that makes IMB missionaries unique is the fact that since they're fully funded, they have the opportunity and ability to be fully focused on the mission field. And that makes all the difference when you know you have the full support of not only your local church, but the entire Southern Baptist Convention behind you." And I know over the next few months we'll have a lot more to share with you, but we just wanted to take a few minutes to talk to you about, you know, what kind of money it takes to send a missionary out on the field, kind of what the plan is, the steps that they go through. But then even more, as I've been thinking about this over the last couple of years and for our church, I firmly believe that we are a sending church. God has... even from the heart, even when we first started attending here and working with the people in our church, and, you know, I know all of you who've been here a long time, your kids grew up going to, on Wednesday nights, they would have mission friends, and we would use GA material or WMU material or whatever we could get our hands on, and, you know, so the kids were a part of that, and that's been planted in the hearts of our kids in our church, and then we've continued that with Kids on Mission. And I want each of you to pray. Definitely we all need to be giving. I don't think there's any question about that. You know, when you look at your budget, make sure that you set aside money to be obedient to send people on the mission field. But I also think that a lot of us are called and we don't go. So please pray and ask the Lord if you are supposed to be one that goes on the mission field. And yes, there's home missions, you know, so we can be involved through the North American Mission Board. But please also consider the IMB. So we have quite a few goals coming up. These are 2025 goals, and Kobe's going to be sharing those in a little bit. But please don't think about it as that somebody else. Think about, this could be me. God could be calling me to go to another country and be a part of the goals that the IMB has set apart. So think about that, pray about that. You kids, think about that $8 a month. You might have to, you know, mow a lawn or, you know, do something like that. But start planning this next year so that when we get around to December, your offering is ready to go and you're ready to give to Lottie Moon.
So that gives us a little bit of idea what our money goes to support and why it's so important that we give and why the bar is set so high when we give the way that we do, and why the SBC or the International Mission Board relies so heavily upon the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. You know, there's some 2025 targets, some things that the IMB would like to get to by the year 2020. Let me just share a few things with you, and then we're going to be done. But they want to mobilize the church, and so they want to mobilize 75% of Southern Baptist churches to prayerfully and financially support the IMB. There are a lot of churches, sadly, in our convention that do not give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. I don't understand that. I just simply do not understand that. And so they have a goal of 75%. It should be 100% of churches. But they have a goal of 75% of SBC churches giving to the International Mission Board through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. They also want to get to the point where they're, by then we'll send out 500 new missionaries into the field. They want to mobilize global missionary partners. They want to mobilize 500 new global missionary partners sent out from Africa, the Americas, East Asia, and other parts of the world. And so they're always thinking ahead. They want to engage global cities. They want to engage 75 additional global cities in comprehensive strategies in making disciples and planting churches. And then finally, to celebrate and increase giving, to increase receipts to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering by 6% annually. And so, guys, let me just finish by saying The gospel is worth it. Amen? The gospel is worth it. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 26, what will it benefit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life? And so, what's the value of a life? I think we would also all say that a life is priceless. Life is priceless. God places an invaluable price on the lives of humanity. And so that's the reason that he sent his son to be the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And obviously we just celebrated Christmas. People matter to God. And guys, that makes sowing the seeds of the gospel worth it. We understand that kingdom work is hard. But the gospel is worth it. And sowing the seeds of the gospel is not a duty. It's an opportunity. You know, it's something that God has called all of us to do. It's an opportunity to share the life-changing message of hope. But the question is are we willing to do it? Are we willing to answer the call and go to people that no one else wants to reach? Are we willing to invest the time and the effort and the money for what God thinks is so important? And I would just want to end with a quote by Lottie Moon. And she once wrote this. She says, is not the festive season when families and friends exchange gifts in memory of the gift laid on the altar of the world for the redemption of the human race the most appropriate time to consecrate a portion from abounding riches and scant poverty to send forth the good tidings of great joy into all the earth? Nobody writes like that anymore. I mean, you talk about a well-thought-out statement. I couldn't write something like that. But I'm thankful that Lottie Moon wrote that, and I'm thankful that she lived it, and she leaves a wonderful legacy for us to follow. And so I hope that you're encouraged by this today and that you're motivated to pray, motivated to go, and motivated to give. And it's not just at Christmas time. It's all year round. And so, you know, this is a way for us to be involved in missions. And God wants all of us to be involved. So let's be obedient to him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for your love and grace and for your calling on our lives. Father, we know each one of us is called to do something. And I thank you that we answer the call, that we move forward in faith, trusting in you. And so, Lord, today, be glorified in us as we make further commitments to you. Whatever those commitments may be, whatever you're calling us to do now, I pray that we would be obedient and that we would do everything exactly the way you've called us to. So, Father, have your way in us right now. Father, we declare that the gospel is worth it, and we commit our lives to you. Lord, we love you and we praise you, and we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together. Amen. So Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment, and you know it's an opportunity for us to be obedient to the Lord and what he's called us to do. And so as we sing this song together, let God do business in your heart. Answer his call. Do what he has called you to do. If you want to talk to me about what that means for you sometime this week, please get a hold of me. We can talk it out and talk further what that means for you. Help you get on that next step, to take that next step in whatever God wants you to do. But let's stand together as Andrew leads us in this song of commitment. You make your decision for Christ today.